Today we are wrapping up chapter 3 from The Four Treasons by Gina Lair, and we are on page 71, looking at the points for consideration. As a convert to Christianity, St. Teresa Benedicta never lost appreciation for her faith. She didn't take it for granted, and she never considered it to be mundane or dull. Having made the decision to follow Christ consciously and deliberately, she clung to the faith with energy and enthusiasm. She understood what a precious gift it was to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. Consider, how do I show my gratitude for the gift of being a Christian?
I was going to say number 10 on the 10 ways, it says, say a prayer of thanks to God for the grace of baptism. It also talks about making the sign of the cross as we enter into church, you know, stopping at that baptismal font and, you know, helping our child make, like, we're not swatting flies, but we're actually, and my child, when he was in second grade, taught me this. And he said, Mom, this is how you say, you know, you make the sign of the cross. You go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And man, did he slow me down and teach me. So I think just being thankful for the grace of coming into this family is, and we can do it every time we enter into the church.
An easy change that I know a lot of people could make, and it's something I got to be honest, I work on it myself, is not being negative. Focus on the positive. There's always a silver lining in every cloud, and look for that silver lining and focus on it. And we can be shifty, you know, don't try and take the negative and present it in a positive, happy light, but it's still a negative point you're pointing out. Look for the good and the positive in everything and focus on that. And you will be surprised at how that changes really your attitude throughout the day. It can change the way your day progresses, and it can change somebody else's day for the better as well.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, I think where it can be hard to do when you have a complaint and it's a phone conversation you have to have, and you really have to, like, get control of your tongue. And I've learned to do that better, much better than I think I've done in the past, or any time we have a complaint to bring up, to not take it out on the person that's on the other line. Mm-hmm. And I've had people thank me for being kind. And I'm saying, and there's some, you know, there's something that it reinforces what I'm doing. Yes. So it reminds me to do it the next time and the next time too. So that's just a really good point, because you just see it all over the place about complaining. You've heard people say for Lent, I'm going to give up complaining. And I think people say that because we do it way too much.
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, how St. Teresa Benedicta, you know, as a convert, how she didn't take that faith for granted, and just what a gift converts can be to, like, a cradle Catholic like me. Like, I know it was one of the first things that I really appreciated about when I first met my husband, he's a convert, and just that the way they sought truth and were able to, you know, go out like Edith Stein did and, you know, follow that truth where it led them, even when it meant opposition. And we can, in a way, kind of live vicariously through the converts, you know, because we have all of this given to us, but then it helps us deepen our understanding and appreciation of the gift that we have, because we're kind of in this strangely circular position of we already have it, but we still have to come to this point of understanding it and accepting it for ourselves and meeting Jesus personally. And just what a witness converts can be to not taking all that we've been given for granted and to really being grateful and appreciating what we've been given.
You know, as parents, that's one of the first things we teach children is how to say thank you. So I find as an adult, I need even more reminders. So a friend of mine gave me a bracelet that has the word gratitude. There's a lot of men in our parish that wear a rosary. It's kind of not, I don't want to call it a bracelet because it's not a bracelet, but it's a rosary that they wear. And it's that constant reminder of, you know, not only to think about the Blessed Mother, to think about the walk of Christ. It's those reminders that we can put in our life. And of course, one of the most important things is the end of the day. You know, in the prayer life of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the daily examine of going back, and the very first thing is blessings, to go back in your day. And once you see those blessings, all of a sudden, you know, the enemy loves to illuminate that one thing that you're not thankful for. And you probably had 10 things that happened that we just kind of skate right over.
Yes, very important. Look for those moments in your day that you can give gratitude. Good point. We're going to continue reading now on page 71 as we're looking at the points for consideration. St. Teresa Benedicta took genuine consolation in thought of heaven. For her, it was a source of hope and comfort in the midst of life's trials, and surely at the moment before her death. For St. Teresa Benedicta and all the martyrs, belief in heaven helped them have the strength and courage to act heroically. Consider, how much does belief in heaven console me during times of trial?
I think what it really just gives you is that eternal perspective, you know, that how different everything looks from the perspective of heaven, you know, the little things that we think matter or don't matter, the disappointments, you know, if we're looking at it from that view from heaven, realizing that we are homo viator, we are a man on a journey, that we're, you know, nothing here completely satisfies us. There's always that more that when we're looking from God's perspective, just how different it would make us live our lives, you know, that kind of memento mori idea, remember your death, like not in a morbid way, but in a, you know, what is it that really ultimately matters? And that's what helps us in our times of trial and seeing things in the correct context.
Yeah, if you think about heaven, quite frankly, then you have to think about death, because the only way to get to heaven is to die. So nobody wants to think about death. But, you know, coming out of November, as when we were recording this into Advent, you know, we come off that holy month in our church to remind us. And one of the things that I've been kind of trying to work on, I call it like little deaths, little practices of deaths. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, whether it's like maybe a friend that moves away, or something that doesn't go your way, or it could be anything. It is a dying to yourself, but you have to experience a little death. I recently had a friend and she got a new job position, and I miss her terribly. Our relationship is, you know, nothing's wrong. It hasn't been severed, but that's a little death. And maybe there are deaths with like relationships and friendships or things that you've done nothing wrong. You've apologized, you've asked for forgiveness, and that person chooses to leave. It's a little death. And I think as our life goes on, if we can surrender these little changes in our life as small deaths, it helps us to prepare for, you know, the glorious moment supposedly we're supposed to be absolutely looking for, as a friend of ours in our church calls it, the promotion. We're all wanting to get promoted to heaven.
Death is really something that most everyone really struggles with, because we miss our loved ones when they're gone. I like to think of the separation between heaven and earth is really a veil. Our loved ones are just on the other side of the veil. And don't forget that when we're in Mass and during that consecration, as we approach the altar, that veil has been lifted. And all of the angels and saints in heaven are there at our side at the altar of the Lord, praising holy, holy, holy. But another thought too is, if we die to sin, as we've learned in this book already, as we die to sin, we begin to experience heaven on earth. We get a peek behind that veil to do their part, which is why we're doing this, why we want to encourage everyone to grow in holiness and help develop that intimate relationship with Christ. All right, we got one more meditation here on this chapter of the book. It is, St. Teresa Benedicta understood the gift of the Bible in a special way because of her Jewish upbringing. She had a deep appreciation for the way in which the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. Once she had put her faith in Christ, she also accepted the truth of his word and oriented her life accordingly. Consider, how does God's revelation through sacred scripture shape my actions and choices?
It hasn't always been this way in my life, but in the last year and a half or 2 years, scripture has been a great source of consolation for me. It's been a very integral part of my daily prayer, and I have just continued to be so surprised and blessed and astonished at how often I feel like God's word is speaking to me in my particular circumstances and situation. And I guess that shouldn't be surprising. It's God's living word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I think I went for many, many years being a very, you know, devoted, committed Catholic who, you know, had a master's in theology and gave talks and wrote books, but never encountered scripture in a living, personal way that felt like God was really, really speaking to me every day in my particular circumstances. So it feels new to me. It feels like something I've been missing or wish I would have had along the way. But I'm very, very convinced of that. And I wish everybody had it. I wish everyone had that, love for and respect and an opportunity and time to encounter God's word. I think it's maybe one of the things that Catholics are a little bit weaker at, as sort of a stereotypical caricature, that maybe Protestants are a little better at least in my experience. And I think it's a place where we have so much richness that should be complementing our sacramental life, our liturgical life, our catechetical life, through the life of scripture speaking to us. So,
Gina, was there anything in particular, an event or an activity that helped you to kind of make that leap and develop those new habits?
It was actually when I started doing the Ignatian exercises. I took a year and did what was called the 19th annotation. So it's kind of like an Ignatian silent retreat, but it's stretched out over a year for people with 6 kids and a dairy farm or whatever. So it was an opportunity for me to have actual assigned scripture readings that I was committed to praying with every day. It was the Ignatian method of meditating upon those scriptures that really helped me start entering into an encounter with scripture like I had never had before. So yeah, that's an experience I would recommend to everybody, as well as the chance to meditate in the Ignatian manner through a guided retreat like that.
A whole year? I have a hard time getting through just a 9-day novena.
Well, you know, there's something to certain graced moments too, right? You know, it was a time in my life, I was actually at a really low point and was really in need of some help. And I was not searching for an Ignatian retreat. I was searching for like a different life. And what God led me to was a program and a spiritual director and the Ignatian exercises. So it was what I needed in that moment. And I had the grace to make that commitment because I knew that I needed it. So it's, you know, I want to prescribe the things that have worked for me to everybody all the time. And that really isn't the case, because God, as we've talked about, God works in very diverse ways for people at different times. But I've just felt so blessed that it's hard not to think it's, you know, what everybody could benefit from.
Hopefully this retreat is going to inspire you to take your faith walk and your relationship with Christ to the next level. So in the coming days, weeks, and months, watch for those doors that open up. Watch for those opportunities where God is calling you. It might not be, and it probably won't be for a whole year, but look for those opportunities.
Well, I want to give a commercial because I'm in St. Petersburg, and we do have an opportunity, actually several opportunities, and people can Zoom in to some of the programs that we have at our parish. And so we have people from all over the country. We do have the Annotation 19 that is led by a spiritual director at our parish. And we also have a mini, kind of little mini Ignatius retreat, where it starts in usually January of every year and culminates in Easter. And it's just, everything's provided. It's almost like a personal trainer. Gina, I loved how you described that, because it's nice to have everything like on one page. Okay, here's my scripture to meditate, whatever that means, and setting aside that time. So I know Mary can put that in some of the information, but we do have those opportunities at our parish, St. Raphael's in St. Petersburg, Florida.
We have some bonus material for you today. Father Kevin is joining us. He is a retired Franciscan who has studied philosophy and phenomenology. Father Kevin, thank you for joining us. And can you share with us a little bit about your background?
Studying in the 60s, and I studied religious studies, as we called it then, under the great Gerard Sloyan. Some of you may have heard that name. And then I studied under two experts in philosophy, Sokolowski, who was an expert, and Husserl, Edmund Husserl, and Martin Heidegger, who also studied phenomenology. And I just had the opportunity to go to school, which many people don't have that opportunity. And so then I became a professor and on, and that's the story. It's a very simple story, but I don't want to drag. I don't want it to be on me. I want it to be on these Teresas, because I find the four Teresas fascinating.
Father, as we study Edith Stein and we see how she really studied or reasoned her way into the faith, do you think that becomes a stumbling block for people who might not have that academic background?
You don't have to have an academic background. It's built into our DNA. You know, we will never be satisfied until we find the truth, Jesus. And that was her point, Edith Stein. You know, there's a quote. I had this quote. Whoever seeks the truth is seeking God, whether consciously or unconsciously. And I remember Leo Tolstoy said, you know, the ordinary peasant in Russia, under Tsarist Russia, the ordinary peasant found God more so than these intelligentsia. They lived faith. They had faith. And they knew who the truth was. Who the truth was, because the truth is Jesus Christ. And he embodies everything that we will be. And we, of course, believe that one day God will transform us just like he transformed Jesus from death into life, an extraordinary, indescribable bodily life. And that will happen to us. And in death is life. That's what our faith says. And so I love that line. That there's another line I thought was very interesting from Edith Stein. Before her arrest, why should I be spared? Is it not right that I should gain no advantage from my baptism? If I cannot share the lot of my brothers and sisters, my life in a certain sense is destroyed. So I thought the solidarity with suffering. And I think that's what the saints were about. Many, they want to be with the suffering, especially. And suffering is a mystery, we know, but somehow or other, it's a pathway into eternal life, because it's redemptive. We know that, because the sufferings of Jesus were redemptive. You know, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have eternal life. So we have that friendship, and Revelation is a person. And I was very interested that Edith Stein read John Henry Newman, who was a 19th century British theologian. And he highlighted that point, that Revelation is not a whole series of abstract principles. Revelation is a person. and we develop that relationship through prayer, especially.
Right, that the Edith Stein's search for truth was so inspiring to me, and that finding the person of Christ as her final solution, like through all of her philosophical studies. I remember when I was first studying philosophy, I got a little overwhelmed with all the objections and the skepticism, you know, getting into this cycle of thinking I had to prove everything rationally and logically. And just that insight was so important to me, that you know, philosophy and science and everything can get you to a certain point, and there are real truths you can learn there, but that there's this whole supernatural realm that you find through that personal relationship of prayer. It ended up being what I wrote my thesis on, just this infinite longing we have for God. And, you know, that deep calls into deep that only, you know, only God can satisfy. And just this abyss we have that can only be satisfied in him.
It's all part of the DNA of every human being.
Beautifully said. And I want to thank you so much, Father Kevin, for joining us today.
I want to wish everybody a blessed Advent. And may you experience the presence of God throughout Advent in your own daily lives. God bless.
And that wraps up this chapter on Edith Stein. Next up, as we're reading the book, The Four Teresas by Gina Lair, is Mother Teresa of Calcutta.